Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good night to you, to Grenada, Caracou, Piedmont, the rest of the Eastern Caribbean. Those of you listening in the diaspora, pleasant good day to you. And again, we are inside the Ministry of Finance. And believe it or not, we have back in the studio with us today, you know who? The man himself, the permanent secretary in the Ministry of Finance, Mr. Timothy Antwine. Good day to you, Timothy.
Good day, Pastor Simon, and good day to all of yours, our listeners.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very good, and it's good to be back.
I mean, they can't see why you had a sharp blue tie with that shirt. You're looking good.
You're stretching the imagination a bit.
Yeah, well.
But I'm glad to be back. Yeah. And let me say, I think my colleagues who've been on for the last few weeks have enjoyed coming and sharing. Mm-hmm. And the feedback we've got from people who've heard is very positive. People really feel it's just an inside track into what is going on in the Ministry of Finance. And people appreciate that. So I think all of us feel, you know, really encouraged about what it is that we're doing and why we're doing it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to make sure that, make it plain, make it simple, as I like to say, make it clear. So thanks to you again for accommodating us. Appreciate it.
And I must say this. I was quite surprised of how many departments the Ministry of Finance have. I did not know that.
We're a big ministry. People don't understand that. I mean, they know we're an important ministry, as all ministries are. But we are a big central ministry. And you're right. People didn't know, not just you, that Printree is under finance.
No, I didn't know.
And
that.
Did not understand Printree's role, very important role, in respect to legislation and in respect to elections and in respect to budget preparation. But these are as public servants who play the role quietly, but they endowed very professional, who've done it for a long time and do it very well. So our country really owes a debt of gratitude to our hardworking public servants. It is true that not all public servants do their jobs, but there are a lot who do, and certainly in the Ministry of Finance, I know many of them who do, and I'm very proud of their efforts.
Great. All right, folks, Mr. Timothy is with me. We take a word from our sponsors. We come back and we get into the heart of the matter, talking about what's happening here, the Prime Minister visiting Washington and all of that. We take a break. We come right back.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs, backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acroprop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acroprop services, call One Call Construction Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
Welcome back to Inside Finance. I'm Stanford Simon. With me in the studio today is Mr. Timothy Antwine. Now, Mr. Timothy, recently you accompanied the Prime Minister to Washington, D.C. What was the discussion and what are the things happening in Washington that we need to know? What did happen there that we need to know?
Okay, so the Prime Minister and I attended the annual meetings of the IMF and World Bank. These meetings take place every year, usually in September, October. We were accompanied by our ambassador in Washington, ambassador to the U.S. and the U.S., Dr. Angus Friday. And in some of the meetings, we also had our debt advisors with us because we were dealing with some debt issues at a certain point. Usually, we first of all, you want to get a feel for what is going on in the global economy. So we listen to what the heads of both institutions, IMF and World Bank, have to say, and then we engage them directly. So we have several levels of meetings. We have meetings which are Grenada-specific meetings. We have meetings which are regional. And we have meetings which have to do with, well, they're Grenada-specific, but they have to do with investors. So we it's usually a very hectic week, long meetings. Sometimes you're doing 8, 10, 12 meetings in one day, starting early in the morning and finishing in the night. But, you know, that's what it's all about. We do our best and we represent in the country. Now, the first round of meetings had to do with meeting the senior people in the IMF. So you had the Prime Minister meeting with the executive directors for Canada, which represents the Caribbean, including Grenada, China, UK, US, Brazil, all of these very senior heavyweights in the fund. So Prime Minister met with them to talk about Grenada's progress with the program and also to ask for support in specific areas, whether it's financial or technical support. Those went very well. And obviously they were made better and easier by the fact that Grenada has had a good start to the program, and they are aware of that. So obviously, if we're helping ourselves, they want to help us even more. That's the way it works. So those meetings were very good. We have very specific things we wanted to address, and we did. You know, I remember in April of this year, when we went up for the spring meetings, one of the things that we wanted to ensure happened is that we got a final date for the IMF to consider the program. That was a key objective of that particular trip. And we were able to achieve that. The Deputy Managing Director met with the Prime Minister. He gave assurances in terms of the timing. And we were able, by June, we that was done. One of the key allies for us in the Caribbean at the IMF is the Deputy Managing Director, a Chinese guy named Min Zhu. He's a really, really important ally for the region. He's very open, we find, maybe because he comes from a developing country. And we find that he's a champion for the region. He and the Prime Minister have established a very good relationship in the last year or so. And so Prime Minister met with him, and they had very good discussions. And then, of course, Prime Minister also met with the Executive Director for the World Bank. Subsequently, there were meetings with both the Managing Director of the IMF, Madame Christine Lagarde. This is a meeting that we normally have Caribbean governors with the Managing Director. We have it on the Sunday at the end of the meetings. It's a breakfast meeting between 7:30 and 9. And Prime Minister led off. Prime Minister Mitchell led off for the CARICOM on those issues. Last year he closed. This year he opened.
Wow.
So he has been playing a leading role in those conversations. In the afternoon there was a meeting with the President of the World Bank to discuss Caribbean specific issues. In between, we also met senior management of the World Bank to discuss Grenada issues, whether it is to do with projects, technical assistance. So, for example, we discussed support for inland revenue to strengthen our inland revenue section. We discussed specific support to help us improve investment, the investment climate. We discussed in the meeting with the managing director of the fund, the Prime Minister raised several issues, including the need for faster growth in the economy and how they could help with bringing investors to Grenada and the Caribbean. He suggested perhaps an investment forum, an investment conference to bring investors, major investors to Grenada and to the region, among other things. So we had very intense dialogue on a range of issues. One of the things he raised was the issue of the need for a sovereign debt restructuring mechanism. What is happening with Argentina and with other parts of the world with respect to sovereign debt restructuring brings home the point that there's need for a sovereign debt restructuring mechanism. What, in the absence of that, if you think about it, in the corporate world, in the commercial world, you have a bankruptcy court, Chapter 11. If you're bankrupt, you go into the court, you sort out your business, you come back out. Yes, American Airlines just did that. They back out and they're making profits again. You do not have anything like that for the sovereign, for the governments. By sovereign, I mean the governments. So it is a very long process, very costly process, very time-consuming process. And sometimes it's suboptimal. You do not get the best results because it is so protracted. And for small countries like Grenada, obviously, it takes a lot of time and it's a very costly exercise. So he spoke about the need for a mechanism that would facilitate that, because the reality is that sovereign debt restructurings take place more often than we realize, and there needs to be a better framework for it. If you think of the Caribbean alone in the last 10 years, you've had Dominica, you've had Antigua, you've had Grenada, you've had St. Kitts, you've had Belize, you've had Jamaica, among others. Further afield, you've had, you know, Iceland, Greece, you know, Ireland, you know, whatever. You've had several countries. Well, Ireland didn't do a restructuring so much as they did an IMF program. But the point is, it is more common than we realize, and there needs to be a mechanism to make it faster and more efficient, because absent that, you spend more money and it takes more time than it ought to take, which is not in the interest of the country is concerned. So that was an issue. Prime Minister spoke on the issue of growth and job creation. It's a huge issue for Grenada and the Caribbean. And he also spoke about fiscal rules and what we were doing in Grenada with fiscal responsibility legislation and so on, and the plan for that. So very, very, very positive discussions, as a result of which the fund is actively seeking support, has agreed to help us in a number of additional areas, and is also seeking support from development partners to help us in some areas. And since I got back, I've had feedback from them on a number of those things that the Prime Minister raised. So it was a productive trip.
So your visit was very productive in a real way?
In a real tangible way. And we usually have objectives when we go for these meetings. We set ourselves objectives, we work towards them, and then we follow up. The other thing I should mention, because that's also important, is that while in Washington, the Prime Minister had a town hall meeting with the Grenadians in the Washington, D.C. area. So that was on the Friday night at the embassy. We had a good turnout, and like always, I always enjoy. There's a certain joy I get from meeting my fellow Grenadians. Some of whom I know, some of whom I don't know, but you get to know in those encounters, some of whom are classmates who I haven't seen in years. And so the format was very simple. The Ambassador James from New York flew up, so he spoke. Ambassador Friday spoke, then the Prime Minister spoke, and then they opened for questions. And it was a very frank exchange, very, you know, engaging. People asked questions, they got clear answers, and people offered suggestions and also offered the help. And one of the things you always find is that we have more assets than we realize in the diaspora. We have a lot of highly trained people, we have people even well endowed who want to make a contribution, and they just need to figure out how to channel it. And so there were some very good discussions with the diaspora, some of whom are coming on in the next few months with either specific missions, whether it's education, whether it's health things to offer, whether it's in the area of energy, whether they'll be coming to Grenada with specific support for Grenada. So that was one of the highlights for me, right, as well, being able to interact with my Grenadian brothers and sisters at that town hall meeting.
Right. So following that, you traveled on to the Caribbean Development Bank. What was that all about? Why did you go to that
right
meeting?
So immediately following, so it was a pretty long trip for us this time around. Prime Minister and I were at the CDB. Prime Minister went because there was a special meeting of the Board of Governors of the Caribbean Development Bank. Usually they meet once a year. They met in May, but there was a special meeting in October, October 14th, to deal with the matter of the strategic plan for the Caribbean Development Bank for the next 5 years, 2015 to 2019. And because it is so important, and because of where the region is at this critical time in our region, because of the criticality of this period, they've convened the governors, and so the Prime Minister Mitchell spoke on areas that he felt the bank needed to focus on. So, for example, he raised the issue of the need for CDB to move faster, generally speaking, speed, in terms of approval and disbursements, right? That's an issue for Grenada, and it's an issue for many of our countries. So that was an issue that he raised. And then in terms of the strategic focus of the bank, he spoke about the need for them to do a lot more in energy, especially renewable energy, and how we help reduce the cost of electricity, how we increase the amount of renewables in our energy mix, energy efficiency, so that we could bring down the costs of electricity or the bills that governments are paying. Mm-hmm. For example, in Grenada, we are spending $20 million in electricity every year. $20 million. $5 million of that is in street lights. How could we bring that cost down? Because if we spend $5 million less, that's $5 million that could go in health, go in education, that could help fix some holes in the road. So that's an issue. It goes to the issue. It's a fiscal issue, but it's also an energy issue in terms of the carbon footprint. So obviously he challenged the bank in the area of energy. And everybody agrees that this is going to be a focus of the CDB going forward. He spoke about transport. You cannot integrate this region if we do not fix the issue of transport, air and sea transport. It is that simple. So he spoke about the high cost of airfares, as well as the need for better connections and better service across the region. And that the CDB had an important role to play. CDB has put some money into LEAD, but it needs to be broader and bigger than just a LEAD issue. We have to fix transport in this region if we're going to have CSME really work for all of us. He spoke about the issue of food security and the need for us to really work, invest in food security. So not just agriculture, but food security. Using what we have in the region to be able to reduce our food import bill, create more employment, and of course, to eat more healthy, to have more healthy foods consumed by us, our population, having regard for all the cancers and all the things that we see nowadays and so on. And then, of course, he spoke to the issue of skills, education and skills, and the need for us to continue to do that because, of course, education remains a key vehicle out of poverty. And obviously, he always draws on his own experience of where he came from and how education helped him to get where he is and so on. So it was very important for him to speak to the bank as Prime Minister of Grenada, as a governor of the bank, on where he wants to see the bank go. And other governors, of course, spoke, and the management of the bank took away that. So what they will do now is to finalize the strategic plan, and in December, they will put it to the board for formal approval. So that was the special governor's thing. While there, I also had other meetings on Grenada with the CDB, including our student loan that is supposed to come to GDP, including the line of credit for us to do energy efficiency, that is supposed to come through GDB, including the loan for Solid Waste Management Authority to help with the expansion of the landfill at Perseverance, and some other issues. So it was a very fruitful few days at the Caribbean Development Bank. And I think we made a clear signal and message that, listen, CDB is a very important institution. It has to grow, it has to get bigger, and it has to serve us faster. And that message went home. So that's what we were, among other things, that was the main thing we were doing in Barbados.
Just let me remind our listeners, I'm speaking to Mr. Timothy Antoine, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance. We are Inside Finance. We take a word from our sponsors. We come back and I'll be talking to them about the homegrown. Let's see what is happening there for the past 10 months, how things has been going. We will be right back in a few minutes.
In these troubled times, you need to wrap yourself around your faith and let your faith protect you. That's why we at the St. George's Baptist Church offer you a spiritual home and an extended family. We're not just a church, we're a community of believers who encourage and support your spiritual growth.
You gotta have hope. You gotta have something.
You're personally invited to our Sunday service at the St. George's Baptist Church at Springs. For prayer, encouragement, and worship, call 440-6325 or 409-1533. Find your way home. Don't stumble in the dark.
And who will save your soul if you won't save your own? And
welcome back. This is Inside Finance. I'm Pastor Stanford Simon. With me in the studio, Mr. Timothy Antoine, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance. Timothy, now we have completed almost 10 months of the year. What can you tell us about the physical result and with the homegrown program, the restructuring, putting things in place? What can you tell us where we are, what is happening, and where is the country today?
Thanks. Well, we are continuing to make good progress. The fact of the matter is for the first 9 months of the year, the fiscal situation has continued to improve. That is to say, our revenues, we have been meeting our targets. In fact, for the first 9 months of the year, our target was 354.8 million, and we actually collected 372.2 million. So our target was 354.8 million. We actually collected 372.2 million, which is a positive variance of 17.4 million. Now, you might be asking what we did with that 17.4 million, and I can tell you straight away, we use it to pay down unpaid claims and to do some work on the capital budget, some of the projects. So that's what that was done for. Grants, we've seen a significant improvement in grants in the last few months. We were behind on grants. I had reported that previously. And that has come up. And we're now at the stage where I think we were targeting 54.9 million on grants and we had 53.7 million. So we're just about there. On recurrent expenditure, We came in at 339.3 million, which is 24.6 million less than target. And that includes the fact that we paid back pay. So we've kept things tight. And on the capital side, which is the projects, we spent for the first 9 months of the year $158 million, which is about 74.3% of our target. So things are tough, but they are improving. And, you know, the fiscal situation is coming around. The fact is that the fiscal gap is narrowing. The fiscal situation is improving. The government has been able to meet more and more obligations on time and pay down debt, pay down unpaid claims, pay down international regional organizations, you know. And, I mean, that's a work in progress. I mean, after so many years of not paying, you can't pay all overnight. And we have to be honest about that and patient. But the truth is we've made a lot of progress in the last few months. So on the fiscal side, the situation remains positive in terms of the progress we have to make. But as I always say, there's a lot more to be done. We have to keep the discipline. We have to stay focused on what is ahead of us and make sure that we do not relax in that sense. On the macroeconomic side, the economy is growing. And we know that from the numbers we've had for tourism, from agriculture, from education, which is mainly SGU. We know the economy is growing again. We also know inflation has been relatively low. When you look at what has happened with inflation year on year, partly because of the fact telecoms has come down, mobile calls in particular. And recently, you know, we've seen oil prices go down, and people would have seen the price at the pump go down recently, the 18th of October. You'd have seen the price go down by almost, 75 cents or whatever per gallon of gasoline. So inflation is relatively low. In relative terms, of course. And overall, there is a sense of more and more interest in the country. And we saw that in Washington. And I'm seeing that every day in terms of people who are coming in, who want to invest and want to do things in Grenada. So positive. I think we wanted to go faster and quicker. And hopefully that will happen as the fiscal situation continues to improve. Because I have made this point before, but it's important. For us to have the economy grow and so on, fiscal stability is important. You cannot grow seriously in an atmosphere of fiscal instability. In the same way, you can't have massive development if there's no peace. You cannot have massive growth and job creation if there's not fiscal stability. So what are we doing here might seem hard and tough, but that's very important foundation for the growth in the economy and the job creation and so on. In terms of employment, I do not have a number on employment at this stage, but there's a labor force survey that's going on right now. And eventually we'll have some updates in terms of what is the unemployment situation in the country. We did have the setback with chikungunya. Let's face it, it did have an effect on production and productivity for the last 6 weeks or so. We know from evidence that we've collected in the Ministry of Finance that it had an effect. For example, NIS got three times the level of sick benefits claims for sick benefits that they normally would get. We saw sick leave, we saw absences and so on. It affected the private sector as well. And we've done a little analysis of what that impact is. So it has had an effect, but overall the economy is growing and overall we will grow around where we want it to. Certainly at the beginning of the year, what our projection was for 2014.
Just a matter of note, I know government was collecting much less than it spent per month. Where are we on that? I know it was down to $10 million.
Yeah, it's still around the $9, $10 million mark. We'll update that at the end of the year with a full year, but it's been cut by about half, and we've kept it tight, and you know we have to keep managing very tightly. As I said, this is not a sprint. You know, we have to continue to work at it, but you will see results as you stay with the program, and that is what we're seeing so far.
Now, what is the current situation with the debt restructuring? Because I know that has been an integral part of the whole restructuring and homegrown program. Where are we on that at the moment?
Very good question. And let me say this. The debt restructuring is important for the overall recovery of our economy and for fiscal and debt sustainability going forward. The program will not be complete without restructuring. And we have been working very assiduously on this matter for the last year, but I suppose especially since the program has been in place. Because what happened since June is that the things have really intensified. And right now we are in the midst of very intense negotiations with our creditors. So we're making progress. The fact of the matter is that many of our creditors have come to the view that a haircut is necessary. That took some convincing. And then, of course, once you convince people of that, how much the quantum is then the other question. We have said what is required based on the program. And, of course, they do the independent analysis and so on. They look at what the fund is saying. They look at what we've said. They do the independent analysis, and they come to some kind of understanding. So we are engaged with our creditors. In fact, while we were in Washington, we had meetings with the creditors. The Prime Minister met with them. And then our technical team, our advisors and myself, we met with them for a longer period to further those negotiations. We've had face-to-face negotiations as well as, of course, a lot of teleconferencing and emails and so on. So that is going forward, and I hope not too long from now we'll be able to give more definitive information on that. You can't negotiate in public, as you know, with these things. So I know people will say, well, they wish they would hear more, but it's a process. We have to be patient, and I cannot speak prematurely, all right? I cannot speak publicly about what is still being discussed or negotiated, because that could then affect the negotiation. So I have to, we have to just bear with us and be patient with us and so on. But we are pushing every single day. Debt restructuring is something that we're working on.
Almost out of time this week, but for sure I want to have you back next week. So don't send nobody else for me. I have some question here that I need to finish ask you, especially about the throne speech and government and what is happening there and the budget, which is a big thing. As well as the budget, the board is about to do something, so they wait to see what happens.
I see.
All right. But I want to ask just before I close off this week, have government pensioners been paid? I mean, that's a question. I remember you were the one here saying that you could pay them.
Yes, we did promise, and I'm pleased to say that they have been paid. Government pensioners have now been paid. It took us a little longer than we would have liked. In the latter weeks, it had to do with Chigvi, the fact that a number of the staff were involved. I think, in fact, the Accountant General was on a program with you, and I think you all discussed that as well. But I'm pleased to say, Pastor Simon, that the government has paid its pensioners. Close to 2,000 of them, and it's close to $6 million. So we're very pleased that that has been done. Thank you for your patience, pensioners, and we continue to wish you well. I would simply say as well that we continue to, you know, do our best to support our pensioners. If anybody didn't get paid, by the way, that means you didn't complete your pension life certificate. I always remind people, most pensioners know that, because you don't get paid if you don't do that. Every 6 months, you have to sign a certificate of evidence that you're still alive. All right? If you don't, then you don't get paid.
Because you have had situations in the past where people die and you're still paying.
That is correct. So as a control measure, we put this every 6 months, you have to do that. But we have paid our pensioners, and we're pleased about that.
Okay, that's good. Any final thoughts as we close off today?
Well, just to say that we continue to work hard, and you said we'll talk about budget some other time, but that is obviously the big push now. We aim to have budget presented, as the Prime Minister indicated, by the end of November. So I want to say that I have been encouraged every time I travel by the support for Grenada. People recognize the efforts of the nation, they recognize the sacrifice that we're making, and they are willing to help, and they are helping. And I want to encourage us to continue to do our best, and so that we could really reap the results of all our labor. So again, thanks very much.
Thank you, Mr. Timothy Antoine, for being Inside Finance. I love to talk with him. He's quite clear. You know what's happening. He's a permanent secretary, so they say he should have the knowledge of the Prime Minister to ensure that he feeds us with information. I'm very appreciative, and I want to thank you so much, because I think our listeners appreciate the time you take to come and share with us, and I want to say thank you.
Our pleasure. Thank you, too.
All right, listeners, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been another program of Inside Finance, where we look at the business of inside the Ministry of Finance here in Grenada. I am Stanford Simon. Join me here next week at the same time when we do this all over again, Inside Finance.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.